It was Mike White Day today. Mike White saved the Jets season, kind of. Mike White wrote episode 5 of his show, The White Lotus, season 2, which we broke down on the Prestige TV podcast, me and Mallory Rubin and Joanna Robinson. Go check it out after you listen to this podcast. It's the Bill Simmons podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Monopoly Go. It's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're not sure you can pull out a win? That's when you say to yourself, it's time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right. The hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to be the biggest tycoon ever. I might do this with my high school friends. We used to play Monopoly all the time. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone anytime with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress. There's so much to do. Play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. Make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. Charge other players rent for your iconic properties. Maybe you'll even play against me. I'm great at Monopoly. You could even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards. Get back out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go. Now free on the App Store or Google Play. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. I have a new episode of Rewatchables coming on Monday night. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a classic 35th year anniversary. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I was waiting to do this until they released the Blu-ray that had all the deleted scenes. There's like 70 minutes of deleted footage that answers some questions in the movie. There's some unexplained things in this movie. It's an all-time classic. I love this movie. I can't wait to release the podcast. Monday night, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 35th anniversary. So that is happening. Coming up on this podcast, Cousin Sal and I are going to break down week 12 NFL on my dad's 75th birthday. My dad turned 75 today. He made it. 3/4 of a century. I'm going to have him on Tuesday to talk about the resurgent winter Boston sports scene. Celtics, Bruins. He's like one of the two people I know, three people, who still religiously watch regular season hockey. But anyway, happy birthday, Dad. We'll have you in the pod on Tuesday and talk about all this stuff. Right now, Sal's coming up first. Our good friends from Pearl Jam. All right, it is 8:36 Pacific time. Just watched Eagles, Packers, Sunday night. Cousin Sal and I were going head-to-head in fantasy. It was a loser leaves town fantasy match. Christian Watson on my team, 75-yarder and a touchdown in the last like 7 minutes, semi-garbage time. I knocked you out. You're done. I hope I win the title. I can vote you out. I can't wait. You were taunting me. I remember every mean thing you said, just for the record.
Well, listen, I'm going to turn it around and be very gracious and just say this. Your team sucks, and you suck as a fantasy owner. You paid $15 for the Jets defense. You were bragging about it this morning before the game even started, before anyone could find what channel that game was on. The Bears already had 10 points. You paid $5 for Christian Watson. Don't ever anyone confuse Bill Simmons with someone who knows what they're doing in fantasy, because he does. He's not, hasn't won a title since I've known him, and it will remain that way.
First
Christian
of all,
Watson,
you're forgetting about my legendary 2007 title, where I almost went undefeated.
I didn't know it was
15
then.
Years ago.
Yeah, 2007.
You made fun of me for paying $15 for the Jets defense, but
it was terrible. It's atrocious. It's like $10 more than anyone would ever pay for a defense.
Yeah, but I still have like $11 left. At some point, you just lose the money if you don't spend it. We have one more week in the season.
if you buy a single White Castle restaurant for $300 million and it ends up turning a profit, you can't be like, oh, look what I did. Come on.
What was that analogy?
I don't know. I'm just so mad. I'm mad about the Christian Watson thing. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm upset.
Well, we went into
it. Because CBS, the stupid CBS site has the percentages. And I'm like, it's 68%, 91%, 92%. I'm like, all I am is a missed tackle away from losing this. Oh, yeah. Whatever. Nobody cares about this fantasy stuff.
But we do care about the stupid percentages that they're always wrong on. The guru. The guru on CBS never seems to have any idea of what actually might happen.
He or she needs to retire already.
Well, Green Bay Philly was interesting because, for a couple reasons. One is the Eagles rush for, the most yards since 1948? That seems relevant.
Yep.
It's like 365 yards or something? What was the final number?
364, and 301 was from Hurts and Sanders alone. It was disgusting. I mean, he had 125 rushing and passing at half, which I don't remember seeing in a quarterback.
So that was their resume for when it gets colder, when you're going to not be able to just run around and have these, like, you know, pass and run type games, and you actually have to just play smash mouth. We can do that. Yeah. I was stunned by how bad the Packers were, though. With like Collinsworth was pointing it out, like the way they were rushing Hurts, we have the blueprint from last week where just kind of keep people in front of him, make sure he doesn't scramble, and just kind of wait him out. And instead, they're like flying at him. And he's like, cool. He just kept running by them. I was embarrassed for the Packers. It wasn't the worst coaching performance of the week, but it was right up there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Rodgers was hurt. I'm going to give him a pass there because he looked, and I guess it's an oblique issue, but like it was getting to a point where every time he dropped back or after every play, he was like looking down. It looked like me the last 7 minutes of every Southwest Airlines flight, like trying not to vomit. He's just like staring at the ground, staring. And finally, he took himself out of the game. And you know, Collinsworth and Tirico, like before, like he throws a good pass, like, oh, but that's the Aaron Rodgers we know and love. And then it's like, this Jordan Love could throw the ball. We saw him in training camp. Like, I know you don't have to pick a side, but we have to get crazy over everything.
Collinsworth was deranged tonight because he had the Rodgers thing. He was treating like it was Rocky fighting Apollo in the 15th round. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, he can, oh my God, Mike, he can barely move. He's got like a straight oblique. He was acting like his like vertebrae had been knocked out of his body. And then Jordan Love came in and threw three nice passes.
Mm-hmm.
And Collins was like, this is the Jordan Love. And then he missed a wide open guy in the end zone. Missed another guy.
Can I say, and it's going to sound like we don't like him. I love Collinsworth.
I love him too.
His insight with the whole thing, like with the, yes, they're rushing too wide and that it allows Hurts to step up. It's like, oh, now you're going to look at the game differently, the rest of the game. But he really does sound like he's been woken up at 5:30 in the morning by the children on Christmas. And it's like, oh, kids, come on, just let me sleep another 25 minutes. Oh, those gifts are going to be wrapped when we wake up at 7. Oh, leave me alone. Let me be with the wife for a minute.
Aaron Rodgers, he's just,
but we love him. We do love him.
We do love him, but I got to say, it was a big misfire by those guys. They were making it seem like, could this be it for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Mm. Is it Jordan Love time? Rodgers just signed this massive contract that there's kind of no way out of. And I don't know how he's not the starter for at least next season. But I just didn't understand that. They were making it seem like this was like the last dance for Aaron Rodgers. It's like, guess what? He's going to be the quarterback next year.
He's there as long as he wants to be. Yes, as long as he wants to be. And that's kind of how it always has been. So, you know, we might see Jordan Love against, who was it? Nathan Peterman next week on the Bears. So you might get used to that. But it's only because this oblique issue, which is obviously, you know, putting him in pain.
Well, if you're Rodgers, next week they play the Bears. You're like 92-1 lifetime against the Bears. Like, do you even risk it? You own the Bears.
No.
You have a Super Bowl and you own the Bears. Those are the two things you have.
Yeah, and you repeatedly remind them that you own them. And so they're going to go after you a little extra hard. So, yeah, maybe sit this one out. I mean, they have 8 losses now. They're not going to make the playoffs. So you could be picky about where you're going to start the rest of the way.
I think they're a cross-off team, right? Like, we can officially send them packing?
They have some tough games ahead. Maybe the Bears aren't one of them, but they would have to run the table to go 9-8. And I don't even know if that does it, because we're going to talk about some other teams that just don't lose, like the Washington Commanders. Good Lord.
So they're 4-8 at Chicago, by Rams, So they could win those two. That would be 6-8.
Yeah, but then it
at Miami.
All right.
Home Minnesota, home Detroit. The problem for them, I don't see any scenario where 10-7 is in the cutoff now in the NFC because of what Washington's doing. Washington's up to 7-5. If the season ends today, they'd be the seventh playoff team. So don't you think 10 wins takes it now?
I do. I think, you know, going into the year, what do we think? Oh, 9-8 for the NFC, 11-6 for the AFC. But now it might be different. Like, the Chargers might get in at 9-8. And the like you said, Washington could be the seventh seed at 10-7. Yeah, I think that's a good breakdown.
I think we said it was going to be 9-8 in the NFC and that the NFC South team was going to go 6-11. I think we're at 2 predict. No,
still
we
get there.
But that's actually what's going to happen. The NFC South.
You're so mad at the Bucks. You're so mad at them today.
Well, I actually had like a decent betting day in real life, and Tampa was one of the ones. It was 17-10 for an hour, and they just... do you want to talk about that game now?
I guess.
Did we do? Well, hold on to that, because the Eagles-Packers, do you feel differently about the Eagles after that game, or do you feel the same?
I still think they're beatable, and they're going to have games like, you know, they did at Washington, home against Washington, and what they did, you know, last week against the Colts. I think they're somewhere in between there and what we saw tonight. They should not be able to run for 360 yards. I mean, that was just too easy against a banged up Packers defense, or just kind of quit on the run game at least. So, but yeah, they're going to win 13, 14 games, and they're going to be a one seed, and be definitely a tough out. But yeah, we'll throw the Niners in there, and my Cowboys are going to be tough, and it's going to be, I still don't count the Vikings, who are going to end up with 13, 14 wins.
Oh my God. Fucking Michael Myers. We'll talk about that later. I think Hurts, so we got 6 weeks left, and I think Hurts now has cemented himself as a legitimate MVP threat after that game. That checked a lot of boxes, right? He was awesome.
Sure.
It was a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Statistically, he's going to move into some pretty interesting stratospheres with the run stats, the pass stats, the pass versus interceptions. They have a chance to go, 15-2, 14-3?
Yep.
Something like that. It wasn't like Mahomes set the world on fire today. Mahomes is still going to be the favorite, but he's
at least
lingering.
He almost set his team on fire. If they had anything on the other side, the Rams, they would have been in trouble.
That was sad.
Not covering. But I'm looking for MVP odds. I don't have them just yet, but I'm sure within the hour it'll come up.
So with the Eagles, they have Tennessee next week, at Giants, at Chicago, at Dallas, Saints, Giants. That's how they end. That feels like 14-3, 15-2 to me.
Yeah, one or two more losses, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
right in there.
And then Green Bay is a wrap. I'm going to say something nice about Philly fans, so cover your ears. They do a really good job. They're, you know, I really respect the old
did someone threaten you? Just blink twice if there's a Philly fan with a
with
a cheesesteak to your head.
This hurts me to even talk about this, but I do think there's a knowledge with their in the crowd fan base. That's like when Jair Alexander, they thought he faked the injury, and then they booed him when he came back on the field and chanted asshole at him. You're not getting that in an LA Chargers game.
Okay. I mean, you can give them credit, but they are just looking to boo at any instance they can. It's like, well, what can we boo at? The guy, he seems to be faking it. get out of here, your mother's ass. You know, yeah, it might be a little of that, but they are knowledgeable for sure.
That's a good atmosphere. That's going to be a tough one for round two, round three. By the way, I should mention, I am sick for the third time in like five and a half weeks with the third different cold that I've had. And much like Aaron Rodgers with the oblique today, I'm fighting through it. But I might cough a couple times. But it's not COVID. Somehow I've been sick three times without COVID. I would have rather just had COVID.
Who's your Jordan Love? Is that your nephew Kyle? Do you want to go to the locker room for a minute? Nephew Kyle and I could talk about the Dolphins and Texans.
It's Jordan House. It's Jordan Love's wings. Philly's 10-1, Minnesota's 9-2, and Dallas is 8-3. And I just don't see any scenario where Philly doesn't get the one seed now unless somebody gets hurt.
I'm with you.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's too many wins ahead, I think, at this point. And I also just hate the Vikings. And we're going to get to their lines and everything in the second.
Oh, my God.
They're disrespected, and they should be. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself for many reasons. But the Patriots losing, just giving up. First of all, that guy's afraid of the dark. cousin sought out therapy. He's no longer, he's wetting himself in these primetime games. And you go out there and you make him look like he belongs right in Canton, right there. What was he, 300 yards, 30 for 37? Disgusting. What's wrong with your defense?
I got crushed in a variety of ways on Thursday night, including it was Thanksgiving. I was with nephew Kyle and my family. I really thought the Pats were going to show up. Mm-hmm. And this has been the whole season. Unforced errors, dumb penalties at the worst time. They gave Minnesota, I think it was 5 first downs on penalties. Just over and over again. Like stupid little stuff that matters, right? It's 3rd and 12. We're going to get the ball back. Up, Judon's offsides. Now it's 3rd and 7. Double Jefferson. Up, where'd he go? Oh, he got a 30-yarder. And like running into the punter after you just get a big stop when the punter's sticking his leg out, dying to get run into. It's just this very un-Belichick-y team. I got to say, like all year, these games that felt like they could have been wins, that they leave them on the table. That Jets-Pats game last week was another one. The punt return saved them from this overtime scenario that would have been pretty scary. But they're 6-5, and they should be. The Chargers are 6-5. The Bengals are the team that I think has ascended. I think that's a really good team, that Bengals team. They started out slow for whatever reason. But that Tennessee win, I watched that whole game today. That was to do that without Chase. They got a little luck. They got a field goal, a missed field goal from the Tennessee guy at one point. But I just don't think the Pats are in the class of those teams. They're the bad team, right? They're the good, bad team in the AFC. I don't know who it is in the NFC, but I think it's the Pats.
Well, it's no surprise to me that you didn't mention Mac Jones, since you were so wrong about him. I mean, you apologize to the world about Mac Jones. He's good.
Mac was really good.
He was really good. He's good enough. I've been saying it for weeks, and you could compete with him. But if you go 6-6, you had your bye yet? You did, right? Yeah, you had your bye. Yeah, so that would be 6-6. You play Thursday night.
It's brutal, though. We had to have that Minnesota game, because next week, Buffalo, Thursday night.
Yeah.
At Arizona, which I think should be a win. At Las Vegas, who the hell knows? Mm-hmm. Cincinnati home, Miami home.
Ugh.
At Buffalo, week 18, which initially was like, oh, Buffalo have everything wrapped up. They don't even play their starters. That could be Buffalo like trying to, you know, either playing for the AFC East or playing for a 5 seed. That game's going to matter. So I don't see a roadmap to 10-7.
I think you're right. I didn't even know it was that bad. But those teams are so screwy that you have to lose one of them, Cardinals or Raiders. You almost have to lose one.
I know. To have those two net back to back, it's like they're like a wrestling tag team that does weird shit and throws salt in your eyes. And
we
should beat Arizona. Belichick versus Kingsbury. But that's the thing. It's not a Belichick team. Like the Belichick teams in the past, the special teams touchdown, granted, the guy was held. Mm-hmm. They held Duggar during the return, but that was a 11-point swing where Henry almost gets a touchdown, then he doesn't. Then all of a sudden there's a kick return. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was pretty disappointed, because I do think this Pats team's talented. And they're just
for sure.
I don't know. They're just kind of a little roughshod.
I thought like the Pats a little underrated, Vikings still overrated, even though everyone knows they're a fraud, but they're 9-2. I thought this was going to be where you smack them up a little bit, and you know, Belichick on 3-day, you thought at least they would come prepared. I also had adjusted under, which wasn't even close to hitting. So that's
too.
Yeah,
the kick return wasn't open.
58.5, and it went 59. Disgusting.
I'm going to say something nice about Cousins. I thought he made some big throws in that game. I thought we pressured him. And I thought, for the most part, the whole primetime Cousins thing, we kept waiting for it. And Kyle and I were like, throw us one, Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like in the second half, he just didn't. He made good plays. And I thought he kind of took over the game a little bit. It was tough because we shut down Dalvin Cook. That was probably the most competitive of the three Thanksgiving games. Your team... Whatever.
Suck having a game on Thanksgiving? I would love a break from it. Right. Like, even though we were up 15, the Cowboys with like a minute and a half left. I just can't take it. It's agonizing. And I'm just like coughing up all the turkey and cranberry that I ate within the last hour.
Yeah. Well, that game is going like right when everybody starts eating, which is part of the problem. The Giants, they duct taped it for about 8 weeks there, and now it's like, okay, you're going to do the naked bootleg with Daniel Jones, and here's the play where you run Saquon into 8 guys. It just feels like they've kind of flamed out. They've been supplanted by Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I think Washington is, I don't want to say they're for real and like a Super Bowl contender, but I do think they're a legitimate like top seven team in the NFC. Like they get stops. They have a knack for making plays in the last 3 minutes of these games. They have a couple guys, a couple skill position guys. I think Robinson was excellent today against Atlanta. McLaurin can make some plays. I think they're not bad. Their weak spot's Heinicke.
I don't think Brian Robinson will break down. He had over 100 yards today. Not 30 touches either. Yeah, Heinicke, 2 touchdowns, and they're doing it all. Chase isn't even back on the field, right? So this could get real ugly for teams. That's a tough team to beat, like in January. That seemed like a team that goes on the road and wins one and then plays the second one tight, you know? I mean, yeah. They already beat Philly, so one up.
Yeah, I like them because they definitely have an identity. And mm-hmm. I don't know when it developed, but you could feel it the last few weeks. Like they like these close games. They know they can run the ball. Robinson's a really interesting player because he kind of reminds me of Eric Dickerson. I know he's not mm-hmm. Eric Dickerson, but he's totally upright. Usually you see yep. these running backs and they're a little crouched and they're like trying to figure out how to, and he's just like this upright. He's almost like a sprinter.
Yeah.
And he just kind of cuts through and he figures out how to navigate. I think Gibson's good too. I like that team. Heinicke's the weak spot, but they play hard for him. They can't bring back Wentz. I think that ship has probably sailed.
Yeah, and that's enough of that. They play the Giants this week too. So that'll, you know, we'll know a lot there. And yeah, they're the team's an embarrassment too. The front office really is crazy. The Sean Taylor thing today with the memorial where he's wearing Reebok and Nike and Adidas and he's got wire arms. Like, why even put that out there?
No, they're know. Like I an HBO show.
Yeah, it's like almost asking for trouble, Dan Snyder. Like, purposely doing this stuff, I think.
You might be right. They're at Giants next week, bye week, then home for the Giants are their next three. So they could be 9-5 in the span of a couple weeks. Let's take a break. I want to talk about that Cleveland-Tampa Bay game because I'm still mad. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. That's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator also helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals like job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are more likely to convert, and even in some cases, most likely to convert. Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date data fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Start your 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. All right, the stupid Tampa Bay team. I think I've been on the wrong side of them probably 5 times now. I don't know how I'm doing it. Over and over again, I've been on the wrong side of whoever. But today with Tampa, it's 17-10 for like an hour. Mm-hmm. At one point, they have the ball. It's like 12 minutes left. It's 4th-and-2 on the Cleveland 37. And they're like, this is great. They can run for 5 yards against this. Cleveland is the worst run defense in the league. Just run the ball, whatever. They take a delay a game. It's like, that's right. Weird. And then they punt it in the end zone. And that was what they did with a 7-point lead. It's just like, go for it. You can go up 10 against Jacoby Brissett with 10 minutes left. What are you guys doing? Go for the kill. They had a 3-and-out. They had that 4th-and-2. They had another 3-and-out. They had a 3-and-out in the final 3 minutes. They get the ball back with like under 3 minutes left. Chance, 1 first down, game's over. They can't even get that. They let the Browns come back down, 4th-and-10. Njoku catches that he does an Odell in the back of the end zone, overtime. Yep. They go 6 plays for 18 yards punt. Cleveland stop, get the ball back, 6 plays for 16 yards punt.
You can't, and then punt Cleveland twice ends up in winning. Overtime.
You punt, so they punt it twice in overtime.
So bad. But it really is.
This team's 5-6, and everybody's thinking, oh no, well, this will be the team. You know, these will be the guys that make the win the AFC South. Sal, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the NFC South.
Kyle, turn the camera on.
Turn the camera on, Kyle. Turn on. No, don't listen to Sal. Turn it on. Turn on the camera.
We say turn goodbye to Carolina. You cross them off.
No, I've uncrossed them. They're 4-8. Listen to their rest of the way. They're at Seattle, who Seattle has no pass rush anymore. You just get to stand back and run around for 9 seconds against them. Then home
that'll
Pittsburgh.
Be fine against Sam Darnold, but go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
Sam Darnold was good today. Home Pittsburgh, home Detroit, at Tampa, home New Orleans. Dennis Allen will probably be fired a minute after that game. I don't know. I think 8-9 is going to win this division. And if they win that Tampa game, could they go 4-1 the rest of the way? It's conceivable.
I guess. And they're a physical team. They really are. I wouldn't want to play them week to week, but not going to. You know, Darnold.
Go backwards, though. Remember that first week, Cleveland, that Cade York made a 59-yarder to beat him. Second week against the Giants, they completely fucked that game up. The first Atlanta game, DJ Moore takes his helmet off when they're about to win.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. They're better than a 4-8 team.
Losers do. They lose weird games. They have weird endings. But so you're asking Sam Darnold to put together like 3 straight wins at some point. That's what you do.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
You're mad at Brady. Yeah. Listen, I think you're looking at this the wrong way. We need to embrace this. This is really like, we want them to be the fourth seed. That'll be so, you know how much he'll be overvalued spread wise.
He's overvalued
Tom Brady.
Today.
Yeah, well, we're always looking for a playoff team to root against. If they're a 4 seed, maybe Washington's a 5 seed. Maybe Dallas is the 5 seed. You'll get points. That's our pick. Come on.
Well, here's the irony today. They fucked that game up so badly that it goes in overtime. Then their right tackle gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Right? Worse. He's probably out. They said the x-rays were negative. Who knows? But he's going to be out for a few weeks. Yeah. So instead of just putting the game away in regulation and being 6-5, you lose in overtime, you're 5-6, and you lose your right tackle. And then the other thing, Kyle, don't listen to this part.
Is the camera still on?
Kyle, turn the camera off and
turn it sideways, Kyle. Turn it like face the ceiling. Yeah.
Brady was bad in that game today. Like Brady looked old. Yeah. He was sailing balls over people's head. He missed, I would say, 8 wide open guys in that game. Mm-hmm. He missed throws that he would make in his sleep 10 years ago.
The ones that are blocked at the line of scrimmage are the ones that concern me. Not that I care, but that right? Those are the ones like, oh my God, on a crossing pattern, he should get that. That's a 6-yard throw. Why is anyone getting their mitts on it?
If he was even a C+ in that game, they win easily. And then the other guy, and I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on, but Mike Evans looks like he's like semi-washed up.
Listen, these are guys I started against you. I had Brady and Evans. It was disgusting. If they do anything like you said, I would have beaten you by 15 points. But yeah, that was a bad game to watch. Really
bad.
There
was one play in overtime where he threw a long pass to Evans, which of course he sailed a little too long like he did the entire game. And it felt like Evans could have dove for it and Evans just kind of stopped.
Right.
And it was like, what are you doing? This is a close game. Like, why didn't you lay off for that Brady today?
Also, they're just giving you the game. They really are. They're like, first of all, they're a disaster. There was a skunk in the stadium in the beginning, right? And there were tire tracks that vandalized the field. It's like Biff's world and Back to the Future. Just get in and get out. They're giving you the win. They're done. And now, they're giving Watson a losing team. And somehow they pulled it out because Tampa, and you didn't even, I mean, the coaching, I think that was the worst coaching.
Well, I want to get to the coaching. Yeah, the coaching, the Bowles-Leftwich combo is really something. And every time they cut to Bowles, he looks like he's watching his car get towed. I haven't seen him do anything on the sidelines. If you search Leftwich on Twitter during these games, the Bucks fans are having a stroke about how predictable the play calling is and the sequencing. It's really bad. Like I think Brady threw for 5 yards per pass attempt today. They ran the ball pretty well. They were 20-96, but the Browns had more first downs. And I don't think that's a division champion. And I'm going to look at it the other way, Sal. I don't know who's going to win that division, but I think it's setting us up. Remember that year when the NFC West was horrible and Seattle was a round one home underdog against New Orleans.
They were
like 9-point underdogs at home. Baseball. And we're like, oh my God, this is the stupidest thing ever. And then Seattle wins.
Oh, really?
We're getting set up for one of the great, nobody believes in us, round one NFC South a home game where somebody is 6-point underdogs. That's where I feel this is going. I hope not,
because my team's the 5 seed, so I really hope not.
Well, you tell me who you like. Tampa's 5-6. Atlanta's 5-7. New Orleans is 4-8. Dennis Allen, I think, is officially reviled by the Saints fan base now. And then Carolina's 4-8. Out of those four teams, who's playing the best right now? You might actually say Carolina.
Yeah, sure. But it might be different in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be different. I don't know. Something weird's gonna happen out of that. But that whoever wins that stupid division might end up playing your team in round one.
Yes, that's why let's just hope for that. And then I'll pick a new team. I'll pick a new favorite team if the Cowboys lose to this Bucs squad again.
Well, that would be
that's it.
That would be what Fox would want. I have my season from hell rankings for you. I'm going to give you my top four. Tampa ranked third. Tampa had the Brady soap opera all year. They had the coaching, bizarre coaching thing where Bruce Arians decides at the end of March, he's just going to move up into the front office. They've had injuries galore. Their body language is bizarre. They were talking on the broadcast today where somebody was like, you know, when we got that game winning touchdown against the Rams, it was Cameron Brake was telling the announcers, you know, when we had got that touchdown against the Rams, you just felt like that was a pivotal moment for our season that we're going to remember. It's like, A, the Rams suck. B, you're about to lose to the Browns, no T. So I have them third. I have Arizona fourth. They're 4-8. They have this Kyler Murray contract that I'm guessing they would probably do over.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Hard Knocks. My son and I watched the last Hard Knocks. Are you watching them on Hard Knocks? It's actually pretty good.
How have I missed? Have I missed three already now?
It's pretty good. I'll tell you this. I don't have a lot of faith in Cliff Kingsbury after the Hard Knocks episodes I've watched. I don't really see a future for him as an NFL coach. It's really rough. He seems like a good hang, but it's this last episode, pretty rough. Anyway, I have them fourth. Number two, the 3-8 Rams, who I think now are the second worst team in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Houston's worst, they're second worst? Or would you have Denver?
I don't know. I mean, I had your Panthers last week, so I'm not sure. It's the second worst, Denver, because they can't score 20 points. Denver.
Did you see that stat? They have the lowest points per game in like 20 years, Denver.
Oh, yeah. So that's your number one, or the Packers out of this?
So, no, Denver's my number one. The Rams, no first round pick. It's going to Detroit. Stafford looks like he's broken down now.
Right. Denver, no pick either. Oh, you got to replace the Packers. Trade with Tampa Bay. Trade the Bays there, because Tampa's in first place, and this is still exactly what Brady wanted. Like, he knew it. He
only you're right. Green Bay did have a... Yeah, so I'll put Tampa fifth. You're right. Green Bay should be third.
Yeah.
The Rams, the other thing with the Rams, they're getting crushed in these games now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be really interested to see what happens with the Rams, quote-unquote, fans in the season ticket stuff next year and stuff like that, because this is like right around the renewal time, right? It's like, do you want to renew your Rams tickets? And you're thinking, well, wait a second. They're 3-8. Matthew Stafford is basically a zombie at this point.
Yeah.
They have no first round pick. Their cap is in hell. Every time I go to a game, it's 70% fans of the other teams. You know what? I think I'm not going to renew my tickets.
I try to sell 6 of the tickets already this year.
Right.
Even when they were good, I tried to sell them and couldn't get anything for them.
My dog walker went to 3 games.
Yeah.
My Gardner went to 2.
Fox Network doesn't even believe in them. They did a big Thanksgiving campaign for the Rams Chiefs and didn't mention the Rams once. It was Greg Olson and Aaron Andrews in a huddle talking about this game. And it was just about
how
great Patrick Mahomes was. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that should be a good indication.
So I have them too. I think the clear number one is Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Denver is 3-9. They have no pick. Their best player, Javonte Williams, tore his ACL. Their coach sucks. They're gonna have to fire him and get another coach, right? He was one of the worst coaching hires we've had in a while. And the Wilson trade is one of the worst trades not only in recent football history, it's one of the worst trades in the 21st century in sports. Like, that guy looks like he's forgotten. It's like Darren Williams when he started to get bad near the end with the Nets, but worse. And I asked my buddy Gus, you know, Gus Ramsey, Denver, diehard Denver fan.
What's he saying?
I'd be like, is this the worst Broncos season ever? Like, it has to be, right? And he said it was either this one or the second McDaniels season when they fired McDaniels midway through. The difference is they don't have a pick this year. They don't have an out with Wilson until after 2026. Like, they can't even cut him. They can't do anything.
Yeah, so it's bad. I think the team doesn't like him. They don't want to fly with him. They're yelling at him on the sidelines. Everybody's, you know, they get it with Russell Wilson already. And he can't throw the football. And this coach is a disaster, too. You're right. I mean, it's just, it's all come together with them and the no pick. Yeah, they're number one, no question.
Gus was saying how bad they were. And I went and looked at their pro football because he was like, the AFL, they were bad the whole time. I went back and looked. They never even made the playoffs in the AFL. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really, when they made the Super Bowl and lost to your guys in 77, mm-hmm. That was like kind of their first moment. But then after that, they were relevant pretty much all the way through. They would have like a couple off years, but then they have Elway basically for 16 years. Yeah. Going to the 2000s, they kept having these little mini runs. They ended up winning another Super Bowl in 2013. Yeah. But for the most part, they were always relevant, or they always had something going. This is the first time you can look at them and go, you guys have nothing going. You're in a quarterback. You're in a division with Herbert and Mahomes. You're just fucked for the next 5-6 years. You have no first round pick. You have new owners that they have to be like, holy shit, did we buy a lemon? I mean, I know they just want to get in the league, but you can't think of this would be the number one worst team you'd probably want to buy from a talent standpoint. But so anyway, they have to be number one. So we can
We agree. And I don't know. I could see Elway bowing out soon. I mean, how many quarterbacks is he going to go through, right? If this didn't work, and like you said, it's going to be another 6 or 7 years probably before they can get back on the map somehow.
It's crazy. They've been relevant pretty much our entire life since we've been following football in the mid-70s, and they're not going to be relevant for a long, long time. So one other subplot I had for you. We had two teams go for two in the win, and they got it. And both times in the moment, I felt like it was the right move. Sometimes I don't. Too. But in the moment, especially Jacksonville, like they had momentum. There was something happening. It was like, yeah, go for it. You don't want to face Baltimore, like Tucker, like just go for the kill. The Chargers one was a little different just because they don't really have like, Eckler's tiny. But that Arizona defense, it just seems like they were moving the ball on them that whole last drive. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Well, so I was down
for both.
And you always have momentum, right? So that's the big plus in your decision to go for two. You want to consider analytics and everything else, 62%, 44%, depends on the horses. If your top running back is injured, of course it's different to go for it than if he's healthy, you know, if you have Derrick Henry or whatever. But yeah, I thought that was great. I mean, it went to, I mean, really just strikes down the field for Trevor Lawrence, just everything one after the other. Then a great catch by Marvin Jones keeping his feet in. And then Zay Jones, who had a ton of catches. But I thought, I have to say, the director of that game should win an Emmy for the way they covered the Justin Tucker field goal attempt. Because they framed out the end zone and all you saw was the ball rising and rising and rising. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to make it from 79 yards. Who cares? And then you widen out and you say, oh yeah, no, it was short. It was about 4 yards short. But that was a great, great moment. But kudos to the directing for CBS, I guess it was, right?
Totally agree. Great point. And we have Vince McMahon to thank for that, because if it wasn't the XFL with the cameras on the field, we would never have that cool shot of, I mean, maybe they would have come up with it. I don't know. But the Baltimore one, they've blown 3 double-digit fourth quarter leads this year, which is tied for the record.
I think all 4 of their losses are double digit, right?
Oh, maybe it's 4. Yeah, that's
but maybe is. Fourth quarter is the difference. Yeah, no, they had a double digit lead in all 4 losses.
In the 4 second halves, but in 3 were the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar is the second worst deep passer in 2022 other than Zach Wilson, percentage-wise.
Which seems like it shouldn't matter if they have the double digit lead in the fourth quarter.
Right. They've had pretty good schedule luck with who they played. Like the only good quarterbacks they've gone against, Burrow, Tua, and Josh Allen. This is in like 12 weeks. And then you go the rest of the way. They have Denver next week, Russell Wilson, at Kenny Pickett, at Deshaun, Mariota, home for Pickett and Burrow. So they only have 2 more quarterbacks coming.
Right.
I wonder, because this was such a big day for Cincy too. Tucker missing that 67-yarder, I wonder if we'll like foul that one away. Remember kind of that switch, right? Cincinnati, going into Tennessee. Really impressive dogfight of a win. Tennessee's been winning those games all year, and the Bengals end up winning it without Chase. And then Tucker, I thought that was going in. Now, even before the camera angle, I was like, oh, it's Justin Tucker, 67, yeah. No problem. And you forget, like, he's not superhuman. But I do wonder if that was a little bit of a division flip.
Well, they definitely rely on him too much, whether it's before a half or whether it's on fourth and three instead of going for it. You know, yeah. Maybe it's because he can't throw downfield, Lamar Jackson. But it does. I was joking with my, I don't know what text chain it was, but I was saying, Justin Tucker, they should go in as a team, Tucker and Lamar, and ask for money. Because, like, one can't do it without the other. And then Lamar, I don't know if you saw him on Twitter, he lashed out at a civilian. I was like, oh boy, this could have been
me.
Imagine that guy. Yeah. The guy basically said the same thing. Like, how can we pay him this money? Oh, all he does is blow leads. And blah, blah, blah. And Lamar went crazy. And I mean, you really must feel like you hit the lottery if you're the one he responds to. But yeah, I was going to ask, and I think I know what your answer is, but the Ravens are minus 230 to win their division. The Bills are minus 230 to win their division. Which ticket would you rather be holding?
Those are the odds right now?
Right now, yeah.
Why is it Miami favored to win the AFC East?
Jesus. Because they have one game at Buffalo? Is that it?
Okay.
All right, so you would say Baltimore then, I guess.
Here's the problem. The problem with Cincinnati is their schedule. So they have KC this week, home. Mm-hmm. Cleveland with Deshaun. At Tampa, which is probably the easiest game of all these games I'm going to give you. At New England, Buffalo, Baltimore.
All teams are going to need
bangers. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, if they get out of that 4-2, they go 11-6. I'd be delighted because that was my biggest offseason bet was Cincinnati over. And I think it was 9.5. But that feels like 3-3. Now, Chase comes back. But if they can get 4-2 out of that and finish 11-6, I don't think Baltimore can get to 11-6.
You might be right. I mean, I don't know. I've not seen a definitive Ravens game yet, right? Like, that's the Ravens. Like, they're either just hold on or they blow a 2-touchdown lead.
Yeah.
So just try to win, you Ravens.
They'll split the Pittsburgh games. They'll probably lose at Cleveland, Baltimore. And these then it'll all come down to Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, but there's always a weird
sweep Pittsburgh.
Always a weird North game in there. With 6-point, 7-point favorite at home, loses. Yeah.
God, Russell Wilson, $31.2 million in dead cap money in 26 if they waive him. So you have to slog through this deal for another 4 years, and then waiting at the finish line is $31.2 million in dead cap.
Back to Russell Wilson.
I don't remember another football star doing a 180 like this. This was a guy 2 years ago. We had to have the obligatory, why hasn't he ever won the MVP conversation? And you and I would debunk it and be like, okay, point us the year we should have won it. Let's go through all the years. Let's go. Right. Let's take his stats. And we'd have to do that every year. Now it's like this guy's kind of semi-reviled.
Well, first of all, let's maybe wait because the Browns might say, hold my beer in terms of worst contracts ever for a quarterback.
Oh my God.
In terms of 1A. So let's just see. That really could be the worst in many different ways. But
you're right.
By the way, the MVP vote used to be, they're changing it this year. I don't know if you know this. It used to be just one vote. You get one vote, you vote for one player. Now you vote for first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, I think.
Oh, and they do points?
So it's points.
Oh, that's
so
smart.
5-3-2-1, something
like
that.
It's like basketball.
I don't know. Right, exactly. I think it's exactly like basketball. So you'll see a Russell Wilson, you'll never see him again, but you'll see someone like that will at least get votes at some point.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll do Guess the Lions week 13. Before we do Guess the Lions, here would be the playoff matchups. We're going to start. This is fun. This is after Thanksgiving. This is when we do the playoff matchups every week.
All right.
It's going to be 2-7 Miami Jets, 3-6 Cincinnati at Tennessee. And Cincinnati now has a little, we kind of own you guys a little bit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the 4-5 would be Buffalo at Baltimore.
That's That'd fun. Be pretty, pretty we had great. That a couple of years ago, right? In the snow. It was like a Saturday game. That's a good one.
Then in the NFC, we have Minnesota
against Washington.
Right? Against Washington. Mm-hmm. We have San Francisco against the Giants. That's not going to last. And then Tampa Bay hosting Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
Better not. So the Giants will be the one that's not going to, the Giants aren't going to make the playoffs.
Well, so who gets, so Seattle gets in instead of the Giants? That's your pick?
I think so. Yeah. I will say their defense is bad. Today was the day, I know they have speed and they had a great draft and all that stuff, but I don't know what the pass rush stats were with them today, but they had no pass rush. Carr has never had more fun, I don't think, in an NFL game. And Jacobs, like, I felt like the right team won that game because Seattle's defense couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and he threw a pick early, Carr, and he got hurt. Yeah. I think he came out for a little bit. It looked looked like it was going to be a typical Seattle 2022 beatdown. But yeah, the Raiders are so weird. What are they, 4-7? It really could be 7-4. Such a stupid team. That team I backed.
Yeah, they're a stay away. I didn't even bet that game. You know how much I like betting on Seattle. I'm like, I'm staying away from that. I don't trust the Raiders. I don't know what to make of them.
Good call.
Week 13. What's up? What are our records?
I don't know. I think I'm up or you're up. I'm not something that's close.
That's not what it is.
You're up. You have 6 wins. I have 2 wins and there are 4 ties.
Okay. Thursday night, Bills at New England. The Pats in a really weird spot in the city of Boston right now because the Celtics are the best team in the NBA, at least regular season. I'm not saying that's going to last, but they've been the best team. The Bruins have been the best team in the NHL by far, and they're just kicking ass. And my dad was saying that's all anyone's talking about. And then you have the Pats, who just fuck up every week or barely win or whatever. And are just people. Obviously there's a lot of Pats DNA, but they lose this one. I think that the jig is up.
It's curtains. 6-6 would do it in, huh?
It's a must win. I think it's a must win. It is. So
who'd you say was the 7 seed?
It would be them or the Chargers right now.
Wait. No,
oh, no, I'm sorry. No. The Jets have the 7 seed.
Yeah, well, all right, they're going away. Yeah, they have to go away.
Jets have the 7 seed. So I would say the Jets. Oh, we didn't even talk about the Jets.
Well, they're a game ahead of you, but you have...
But we beat them twice.
Right, you beat them twice. Yeah.
But they were able to run an offense today that included completions to open receivers. So that was a new wrinkle for them. But Mike White was good in that game.
He was good. You called it. You called it. I was all over you and Hench. I'm like, I don't care who's in there. You have Mike White laying 7.5 points. And then, of course, they crushed them 31-10. But
the Trevor Siemian and a cast of nobodies. That was a pretty tough spot. Pouring rain.
Right.
I have the Bills favored by 3 in New England.
Oh, all right. I had 6. It's 5.5. Yeah, I'm on the board.
That's too high.
No, it's not.
That's too high.
You got exposed a little bit. You're out of line a little bit.
This is a little bit.
Right? If Josh Allen has a decent game, he should put up numbers similar to Kirk Cousins.
So I'm supposed to wipe from my memory what I watched from Josh Allen in that Detroit game when they really should have.
That's the thing. Yeah.
They should have lost, except Dan Campbell was the coach of the other team with some of the worst 2-minute stuff we've seen in a while.
Right.
Yikes.
And is this played in Detroit, this game? The Bills play all the games in Detroit now, right?
Yeah, they're moving to Detroit. I think that line's too high. I think this should be a 3-point line because I don't think Allen is 100%.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm breaking news by saying that. His throws were all over the place. He looks miserable. He looks unhappy.
You haven't played them yet, right? That's the last game of the year?
We haven't played them yet.
Right. Okay.
And by the way, a lot of what they did with this defense... Mm-hmm. was to try to make up for the fact that he destroyed them with his legs. But look what's happened. Lamar, Justin Fields destroyed the Pats this year with their legs. So maybe that's why the line is that high. I just don't think the Bills are playing that well.
No, they're not. All right. They didn't play great. But the thing is, they can't sit back, right? They can't afford to lose a game, which you thought at them in this point, it'd be 10-1 or something. Maybe you can catch them off. Surprise them.
I can't imagine Belichick's been an underdog by that much in a home night game since he showed up. I bet that might be the highest number.
Also, they've lost. How many prime times have you had now? You had the Thanksgiving. You had the game against the Bears. Did you have another one?
That's it. This is the third one.
Oh, yeah. Man. Maybe you're right. He can't get embarrassed three times, can he?
He might not care. Every time they show his son on the sideline, I get bummed out.
That guy's fun. He's
Steve. Sunday marquee. This is an awesome game. Miami at San Francisco.
Yeah, there are some good late afternoon games.
I thought the games, I have five watchables plus this game, plus the night games.
Yeah.
Really good matchups this week. So I have the 49ers favored by 3 over Miami.
Yeah. All right, you get it. I said 2.5. It's 4. I don't know. I thought they'd go. I thought they were in love with Miami, the odds makers. I really did.
But not a lot of respect.
No, they're big. They're big on the Niners. I guess I should have known. What were the Niners like this week? They're 8.5 against New Orleans and they're a bunch against the Cardinals. Both went way low on that 2 weeks
and
ago.
And FYI, but, you watched that game, right? They should have covered that 9 against the Saints. The Saints were idiots in that game.
Fumbles at the goal line. Just stupid. I guess it really is Andy Dalton. I guess it is. I mean, is that the most underreported story of the year? Why Jameis isn't suiting up?
Why isn't he suiting up?
He's healthy. And no one questions the quarterback, and Dalton keeps losing. I guess they won. Did they win last week? Yeah, they won. They beat that club. Yeah.
You would think after 0 points, maybe it's time for a change.
Yeah. Who did they beat? They had
that one game where they killed Vegas.
Oh, that
remember,
was it.
24 okay. Nothing.
All right, but that's got to be like 1 out of 5 weeks.
I think that line's a point too high. Not enough respect for Miami. They're too dangerous. Plus,
that's a fun game.
The cheap touchdown for them.
Yeah.
Are you ready for Mike McDaniel, who used to work for the 49ers, stories all week?
Oh, yeah. That's ever going to end. He might just deny it.
I know it's difficult for Kyle Shanahan. You know, he's worked so closely with Mike McDaniel. Now he's going against him. It's difficult, Mike. It is.
I get goosebumps thinking about it. I don't know why. I have nothing to do with any of it.
5 watchables. Oh, I tweeted tonight about the NBC Sunday night. It's on my Twitter feed if people want to watch. They're undeterred just doing it every week where Maria just turns to Tony Dungy. Yeah. He says a quick three-word sentence. And then she just awkwardly turns to Jason Garrett. And today, what was the sentence?
I don't know.
And the Bengals shut down King Henry or something like that, right?
Yeah, that was, by the way, but get your hands out of your pockets, Jason Garrett, you smug fraud. Enough.
How about when he did the Thursday game? He did my team and he's like criticizing Belichick a couple different times during the game. I was like, are you kidding me? You're Jason Garrett.
He just ruins every Thanksgiving for me. It doesn't matter whether he's what part of the TV
you can't
he's
get
on
rid of him.
Me. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think they'd let us? I mean, we've spoken so fondly about it. I don't see why they would. Could we write that 8-second promo for them? Would they let us do it? I mean, DirecTV let us pick the Sunday ticket the way the games were laid out a couple weeks, right?
Something's got to give. At least give them 15 seconds so that can seem like some semblance of a human interaction.
Yeah. Brady blows it in Cleveland and King Henry is bottled up when we return. Oh my God, that's magical. Of course we're going to tune in for that. Who wouldn't come back for that?
We should write it. We should write it where it's like, Russell Wilson sucks again.
But not as bad as I did when I coached the Cowboys into a terrifying situation for all their fans. Oh my God, I'm going to kill Simmons here.
Chicken fried cough. I'm not allowed to laugh. I'm really going to die. This could be my last podcast.
All right. You're going to be fine.
I'm creating a new form of COVID. I'm creating COVID 6. The watchables. We have 5. Mm-hmm. This first one, White Lotus creator Mike White is taking his talents to Minnesota to battle Kirk Cousins. And I think this is going to be Vikings by 3.5.
Come on. I said 7. And it should be 7. This is Mike White going on the road against a 9-2 team. But you're right. It's 3. So you're closer.
Oh, Jesus.
What is going on here with these Vikings? I mean, I know I can't in one breath say they're bad, they're overrated, they're fraudulent, they have a negative point differential, all this stuff, and then say the line should be 7. But it's still the Jets going in there. Am I undervaluing this Jets team with Mike White?
I think you are, because I think the Jets receivers are good.
Sure.
I really think Garrett Wilson is excellent. I like Conklin. Finally, Elijah Moore they got going. And then who's the other one? Davis?
Well, Braxton Berrios is in there somewhere, right? With the returns they just and everything.
Their guys are open. They've been open all season.
Okay, but can we just... I just want this is to take it as you will, Jets fans. You need to calm down a little bit. See, because if we manage expectations in life, you know, then we won't be as hysterical when things don't go our way, right? So Mike White had 1.5 good games last year and then lost 90-47 to Indianapolis and Buffalo. Now,
this
I know
is mean.
He,
this
he
is
can't
just
account
mean
for the
doing.
90, but yeah, he was out of both
this
of those
is mean.
Games.
Why would you be mean
like
to Jets
six
fans?
Interceptions. I'm managing expectations. You don't think they're making the play? Oh, you had them as a 7? No, you don't think they're getting in.
I think they're pretty good. I don't know if there's a difference between them and the Pats and the Chargers, and one of those teams has to make it. I don't know. That certainly would be the most fun story out of the three, right? My team's not doing jack shit in the playoffs.
Right.
The Chargers are a mess. Like, they'll get it. Even if they got in, they'd screw up in round one. At least it'd be fun to have the Jets in the playoffs. So I'm just talking holistically as a football fan. I know the Jets fans feel like Zach cost them at least 2 games. Like that they really honestly could be 9-2. And I think that's fair. Like, he definitely cost them one of the Pats games.
Well, weren't they 5-2 with him? They weren't terrible with him. They only lost to the Patriots.
But the only good moment he had was that one Steelers game where he had to come from behind right? So give him that, he had like 2 or 3 that he just sunk them.
I got to say, the worst moment he had was in the press conference. I think he still has his job if he answers that question correctly.
I know. I like when he apologized to the whole team 3 days later, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
guys, upon further review, man, did I handle that wrong? My bad.
Thanks, man. Mike White's still starting.
Yeah. We have the USFL for you. Washington is at the Giants. And I think Washington has to be favored in this game because of how the Giants are playing. And because Washington is a pretty good team and it doesn't seem to matter where they play. And I'm going to go Washington by 1.5.
All right. Well, you're cheating. I mean, you're sick.
Why am I cheating?
Maybe because you're dying. This is your last podcast. You're sick because it's exactly 1.5. And the Giants are home and they're 7-4. And you're telling me Washington's favorite?
They stink. The Giants stink.
I had the Giants.
Even the Giants fans know they stink. They should have lost to Houston. They should have lost to Houston. They deserve to lose this week.
They were taking every 3 downs. There was a player coming off the field. I do respect what they did defensively because they were getting to the quarterback. Their secondary sucks. Any tight end should be able to get open against them the rest of the way if this keeps up. But I do respect how they stayed in there with the pass rush and everything else.
Yeah, when I say the Giants stink, they stink because they've had more injuries than just about anybody in the league. And I don't think they had a ton of talent to begin with. Right. They also put a ton of miles on Barkley, which I'm not sure is sustainable.
Is this a watchable? I think you missed a key watchable. Are you done
with
them?
No, I have 3 more watchables. Oh, okay. But I just think Washington Giants is a watchable because it's not an official loser leaves town match, but it's like a 2-part loser leaves town match when you throw in the game
in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, right? Washington beats them twice. They're in the playoffs.
Right. Yes.
Next one I have is Eagles, Titans, and Philly. Titans coming off a loss. I wish I had thought of this when I bet the Titans today, which was one of my losses today. I think I was positive. I was positive today, but the 2 I lost on were Titans and Bucks.
I had the Titans too. I really liked them today.
Here's the thing. That game meant so much more to the Bengals than the Titans. The Titans had like a 3-game lead in the AFC South, right? So it meant a lot their home.
I just but thought,
Bengals,
and I know you
Bengals
you thought,
had
like,
to have that game.
It's going to be revenge from the playoffs. They sacked Burrow 9 times and still didn't get the W. I thought that had to be something. Something.
Thought the Bengals were better.
Yep.
Eagles, I have by 6 over the Titans.
I can't gain one on you. I had 6 also. It's 6.5.
Boy, is that a tease.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what this kid Burks is on the Titans, but he's something.
Like, the only way he was going to score a touchdown is if King Henry, even though he was bottled up, fumbled through the end zone there.
Well, he had like a long,
yeah,
basically like a Devonta Parker on acid play where he just like 45 yards down the field, jumped up and got it. There's something there. He's not consistent. He doesn't have he touches the ball, what, four times a game? But there's some sort of athleticism with him that stands out. And I wonder, like, as the season goes along, are they going to start tapping into that more? Because he's clearly, other than Henry, their guy that tilt the game a little bit for them.
Yeah, they made that A.J. Brown trade thinking that Burks was going to be, you know, cover at least 80% of what A.J. Brown did. I mean, he's not there yet, but...
No, and he got hurt. I get it. Yeah. Next one, two more watchables. What a week next week. Bengals home for the Chiefs. Talk about rematches.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bengals are going to be favored in this game. And I might be wrong, but I have the Bengals by one.
All right. I got this exactly. KC by three. Everybody's on KC now. I mean, they're 9-2, and people are just betting them. Like, and they don't cover at home hardly ever. But this is kind of the game. You can't make Cincy the favorite. Everyone's going to bet KC in this situation.
We'll definitely have Chase next week, right?
Is he back for sure? Yeah.
This is a total eye test thing. I have nothing to back it up with. No stats. Just like me watching football on my couch every Sunday. Burrow's got a little something again, like he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a swagger with him again that, you know, betting against him today, I really felt like I was fucked in the fourth quarter. Like the way he was carrying himself, I was like, God damn it, this guy's going to come down and score.
Right.
And I think this Chiefs game, I think, you know, I still feel like he's under the radar when we talk about the great quarterbacks. Like even Herbert is mentioned way more than Burrow is, even though Burrow got to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Then now Hurts and Tua and Bengals are 7-4. They're right there. And he's as good as all of these guys. And he's fucking tough. He takes huge hits, delivers the ball. I really trust him.
He's as good as all of them except Patrick Mahomes, who's the best.
Yeah, except Patrick Mahomes. But you
might be right. They might even need this game more because I'm looking at the Chiefs' schedule. They weathered the storm after the Bengals. They're at the Broncos, at the Texans, home for the Seahawks, home for the Broncos, and then at the Raiders. Who knows if they even field the team by then, what that looks like in the last game of the year. So, so in terms of if they need this, no, the schedule looks pretty light the rest of the way.
I like that it's in Cincy. Like, I'd love to see that get to 3.5. That'd be great. Last one. I think this is a watchable just because these two teams are fucking batshit crazy drunks. The Raiders and the Chargers in Las Vegas.
It's always good.
There's just no way this game doesn't come down in the final 2 minutes with something weird happening. This has to be a watchable. I have this as a pick'em. I know that that's never the case, but I couldn't decide who should be the favorite, so I just went right down the middle.
I had Chargers by 1.5. It's Chargers by 2.5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're backing off. They're backing off the Raiders a little, Vegas is. Well, they played this, right? It was a good game, right? 24-19. I think it was week two. Yeah, it's always fun.
You know, the no Mike Williams thing, when does he come back? Is he going to be back
for this game? He was back last week, right? And then he got hurt again.
I know, but so you think he plays next week?
I don't know. He's good. I'm with you, Burrow. I like him better than Herbert, but Herbert reminded me of like Marino today. Slinging bullets, you know? Just like
really I love Herbert. I don't like one more than the other. I love both of them. I just think Burrow should be in the conversation.
No, you got to choose. You have to choose. What do you think this is? You have to pick a side.
Herbert does this crazy... Mahomes has this too, I guess, but Herbert, it's like Marino if Marino could move, kind of.
Yeah.
Where he'll slither out of these spots, he'll go to the left, and he'll be able to throw it side-armed.
Right.
Across. Like, it just feels like the field is always open, no matter which way he's going. I'm in on him too. But yeah, I wish they could stay healthy for like 3 weeks.
Someone, our friend Alec was saying, it was like watching the Chargers play the Chargers today with Arizona. It really was. Like, oh, whichever side you're on, you're going to lose here.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you bet on the Cardinals, you deserved it because that's what you get if you bet on the Cardinals. Just really dumb shit.
Yeah.
With fourth and ones in your own territory in the second quarter, all that stuff. All right, fairly watchables. This, you could argue from an entertainment standpoint, could be in the watchables. Lions-Jaguars in Detroit. I just don't know. The Jags every once in a while would just not be fun to watch. It's in Detroit. I have the Lions favored by 2.5.
See, this is dumb. I said 3.5. It's a pick 'em.
Ooh.
The Jags are such garbage on the road. The Lions, in my mind, the Lions won that Bills game or should have won that game or were in that game. And I don't know. I know we get excited about teams that excite us, but don't necessarily, you know, come away with a W. But for God's sakes, come on. The Lions should be favored.
They should. I don't trust the Jags on the road at all.
Both 4-7. So give the home team, the Lions, with the raucous crowd, an advantage here.
I forgot. I looked up, because we had the 2 2-points that won a game. What year do you think was the first time that ever happened? When somebody was down one after a touchdown and went for two to win it? Because we've only
what
had 2 year?
Point,
yeah, we've only had the 2-point rule since like the late 90s.
Did you give me the answer? 1998?
Nope. It was 2002.
Yeah.
It was Dante Culpepper against the New Orleans Saints.
Oh.
They scored. Mike Tice held up the two fingers. You can find it. It's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tice holds up the two fingers. Culpepper and shotgun fumbles the snap and then picks it up and QB draws it and scores. Mm. It's the first time anyone ever won that way.
There's no way I didn't lose money on that. There's just no way. As you're saying the words, Mike Tice put two fingers up. One of them went in my keister and the other one went forward.
I was thinking
points.
We knew each other at that point too. And we probably, that was one of the first games we probably bet on. It was like week 15 in 2002.
Yeah.
So we probably did bet on that one. I was living here at that point. That there's this YouTube clip that's like 8 minutes long of like the greatest 2-point conversions of the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a memory lane. I think I lost on probably 90% of them, but like Kaepernick against the Rams, that was one. Like that, mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of them.
The Seattle Green Bay playoff game was the best, right?
Yeah.
There was one this year where who was the quarterback? That was it, Murray, that like backtracked like 20 yards and completed it.
He intentionally made it to 4th and 7 so he could get it.
Right.
Next, fairly watchable, Falcons Steelers. In Atlanta, I have this just because I don't mind watching these two teams. And I think the Steelers are going to beat the Colts tomorrow night. But I have the Falcons at home favored by 3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to get this. I said 2.5. Only 1.5.
Oh.
Very weird. And they haven't even played yet.
Last one is Browns at Houston.
This is it. Deshaun's comeback.
Houston's terrible, but this is Deshaun's comeback. And however you feel about it, it's at least going to be compelling to see him out there in a Browns uniform.
Sure.
I have the Browns favored by 7 in Houston.
Bastard. You get it. It's 6.5. I said 5.5.
I love these people that raving about Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy deserves to be a starting QB. It's like, technically we have like 10 terrible starting QBs, but if he's your starting QB, you're still probably going to go 4-7, which is what their record was.
Yeah.
You're going to score 17 points a game.
Right. Yeah. Where he's your starting quarterback, it's feast or famine with him.
Yeah. You're going to get 5 yards of pass. You're going to be good on QB sneaks. You're going to have one or two terrible turnovers a game. I like him, but he's in that tweener. He's like where Tyrod Taylor was a couple years ago. It's like, he's your actual starter, not great. But if he's coming in as the backup, that's great.
Top three backup, I would say. Yeah.
Poopfecta, 3 games. Packers at Bears. This could be Jordan Love against Trevor Siemian.
Well, what did we do with this? I mean, I guessed, and I get they have a line on it because I think we
scrap it for our contest.
Okay, we can. What would you, I mean, I said +4. It didn't matter.
Yeah, I would have said Packers by 3.
All right. I will scrap it. But yeah, I don't know. So you think it's Rodgers because they have a bye after that?
No, I think Love plays next week.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
I do too. Love Peterman will be great.
By the way, the best thing they could do now is have Love come in and play well for a couple weeks and then try to trade him, right? Like, how many teams need a quarterback?
Sure. Yeah.
You're stuck with Rodgers anyway. He's the quarterback.
I think they
try
to trade him, but you're exactly right. No, they're like, well, we don't even know what we're seeing here.
Ravens are home for the Broncos. It's crazy that this line's going to be in double digits from what we've seen from the Ravens, but I think it has to be, and I'm going to go Ravens by 11.
I said 11 and a half, and it's 7.5. And that's the screwiest line of the month, I think.
Wow, that feels fixed.
Come on. Denver doesn't score points. I know Baltimore
blows
everything.
Can we tease that? I'd feel comfortable teasing that one. The Broncos are done. They're not winning another game.
Philly and Baltimore. That's our teaser so far.
Great. Well, how about the Seahawks are coming up next?
All right.
Against that stupid Rams team. That Rams team isn't going to win again.
The Chiefs were dying to give away the cover today. They're like, please, Perkins, the guy who's wearing four gloves. One was like an Isotona glove. The other was like an oven mitt. Just stop throwing terrible interceptions and we'll give you the cover. But they just couldn't do it. 26-10.
Poor Perkins. He was like an amalgam of 20 different terrible quarterbacks we've seen in that spot. He's just good enough that your cover was in danger the entire time.
Right.
But not good enough to actually beat the cover. Seahawks at Rams. So, caveat for this game, there would be some Seahawks fans at this game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say about 50,000 worth, including our friend Tall John. That
Tall John will be there.
That goofy freak, he'll be there.
He takes up a lot of seats. Yeah.
You think he has to get two seats?
I think so.
How about the poor person sitting behind Tall John? He's like 6'8".
I should hope he takes the last row in a section. I should hope.
He should wear a hat too to make it seem like he's like 6'9" with one of those hats that goes higher.
Yeah.
Cowboy hat.
I mean, you think you're kicking a goalpost there. It must be distracting.
I think this is Seahawks by 7.
All right. I got this exactly and it's 4.
Oh, that's stupid. That's too low. Come on.
They don't love the Seahawks. I mean, they were barely favored over the Raiders, right?
Yeah, but this is a home game for them. There'll be more Seahawks. No Rams fan is going to this game.
I guess this
will be the all-time, do you want my Rams tickets game?
Yeah. You don't think Perkins?
No.
Perkins, Geno Smith?
I don't. They're like the Lakers. They mortgaged everything to win a title, and they did. And now the check has come for the dinner.
You know, so like, maybe they should be honest with the fans. Like, look, you got to pay for this. We got you a title. Look around. Yeah. None of your friends have titles. Look at your Cowboy fan friends. Every team
Clippers.
That comes here. Yeah,
but exactly. Some of the other teams, Clippers, when was their last title? Yeah, they should do that.
We got to pay for this. It's a reverse insurance.
Sunday night, your team playing the stupid Colts, zombie Matt Ryan, ready to just mess with you for four quarters. I have the Cowboys by 8.
I get it. I said 10.5. It's 9.5.
Oh.
We could tease that too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Did you beat me?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're tied. We're going into the last game, and I was off by 0.5. I could actually pull this out.
Monday night, Tampa Bay, home for the New Orleans Saints. I'm putting this game in the Vegas zone. I have the Bucs by 4.5.
Well, you should have said 5.5 or 6. I said 6.5 and it's 6. Good guys win week 13.
You beat me. Wow.
All right. There we go. There we go.
So Jacoby has to go to Qatar for you to win a thing.
Jacoby, I know, he's out there.
For a World
Cup
game.
There. Don't ever come back, Jacoby. It must be nice. They'll treat you good there. 6-3-4 now. Beautiful.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thanks. You're teasing the Bucks?
No, I'm not. But I think the Ravens have to be teased. The Broncos seem like they've hit all-time rock bottom.
Well, the only thing I'm worried about is we both thought that was 11.5. Why is that 7? It's not like Lamar's out.
I mean, honestly, the Browns getting teased down to 0.5 against that crappy Texans team is probably the move, but...
Oh, yeah.
Houston's not beating anybody again this season.
There's some grudge games, right? There's grudge games. New England Buffalo's definitely a grudge game just because it always is. Chicago Green Bay is. This Cleveland Houston game is going to be. What else? KC Cincinnati is a rematch of the playoffs. Chargers Vegas always is. New Orleans
Tampa. I don't
know
if grudge is the right word for Bills Pats because...
No.
The last two times we played them, I think they beat us like 120.
Yeah, well,
remember?
It's like maybe like play with pride kind of thing. I mean, look at the New Orleans game. That was a game they lost 20-10, and Brady faked a roughing the quarterback. Not that you could fake it, but right? That was that game ended because of that call.
I'm not betting on the Bucs anymore. They've lost my trust. Let's do Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax lets you shop your way online or at a store near you. And when you finally find your perfect match, get a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can feel confident you found the right car for you. Or return it if you need to for up to 1,500 miles. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, what do you got?
All right, well, our kids were together this week. I think they were at a Herschel Walker rally or something. I don't know, but you took a picture. No, you took a picture there at your house and you posted it, which is great. And we got all our fans. Wait, let me get in here. And
this is on my Instagram. Yeah, so yeah, people were delighted to see our kids.
They really are. And by the way, I'm glad you did it because a lot of the posts, a lot of the comments were like, oh man, I feel old. Because people are like, yeah, we grew up with these kids and now they look so big. I'm like, yeah, this is what we go through all the time. We feel right. Old.
Yeah,
of course you should feel old.
Your son's like 6'3 and a half. Archie's gigantic.
You should feel old. Where are you now? So I wanted to read some of the quotes, but some of the posts.
Go ahead.
By the way, good looking group. So first of all, old school friendships, all such wonderful people. That's my cousin, Mickey. A lot of Ben Simmons. Oh, wow. Is this his first day of note taking? I want to see some of the notes. People want to see the notes. Ben was taking notes.
People like that story.
Yeah. It makes it feel like these kids are my nieces and nephews. Where do I send their Christmas checks? I will gladly give you an address to send it to cover my gambling addiction and stuff. But the best thing is for me is all this Harriso stuff. About 25 people refer to Harriso, which is my youngest son, Harrison. And the Parent Corner story from a couple of years ago is that the teacher was making Thanksgiving aprons for all the kids and forgot the N on Harrison's name on the apron. And it came out Harriso. And then I called him Harriso for the rest of his life. And like, we kind of forgot about it. I haven't called him Harriso. And then I showed him all these comments. I'm not kidding, Simmons. There's like 40 people like Harriso! Exclamation. Harriso! 3 exclamation points. Wow, look at Harriso. Harriso looks like a handful. And he freaked out again. He's so angry at me. He was angry about the two-hand touch. He's mad again. He was mad this time last week about the two-hand touch debacle. And now, same kind of thing with the Harriso. So I don't know. We'll get to his Christmas list next week. I want to compare Christmas lists between our kids. But there is some stuff on his list that I don't know. I'm thinking about coming clean with him and telling him there's no Santa because he wants like some Met jerseys from guys who are like AA. I'm like, no, they don't make this jersey. And he's like, yeah, but Santa will. I'm like,
Fanatics will. Santa fanatics.
Jeez. I just want to tell him. So well, I think wait. I'm going to tell him. Yeah.
One of the things with Harriso, mm-hmm. Archie was saying, like, you had nickname from the nickname. So now you call him like So Man.
So Man. Yeah. I have songs about So Man and So Man and so this.
So it's
and
like
so
Harriso
that.
Is morphed into like 7 other nicknames.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really good. It's a lot of
corner,
mental abuse. Yeah. Go
my Parent Corner is about Harriso. So I hadn't seen him in a little while, probably like a year. And we're all at my wife's mom's house and he just has that same look that Ben had.
No.
That same look in his eye. And he was gravitating toward Ben and just wanted to wrestle Ben and collide full speed into Ben, try to punch Ben in the balls, try to pick up Ben. And all he wanted was for Ben to just pick him up and throw him in a recliner, which Ben, by the way, was really wanted to do. And I could see the look in my son's eye and I'm like, no, this is going to go badly. Some vase is going to get knocked over. Harrison's going to go flying into a television. Because my son's always wanted like the little brother that you could play fight with and it never really had it. So he had like, so what I was thinking was I might just bring Ben over like maybe like once a month.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just to like, he can beat the shit out of Harrison. Remember like when when he was younger, I used to get him those UFC dummies.
Yes.
And he used to do wrestling moves and all that. I think he saw Harrison as like the human version of this. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
And Harrison kind of wants it. He's like, just throw me around like a rag doll. I'm ready. I'll keep coming.
All right. Let's do this. I don't know. Let's do this because we live kind of far from each other, right? So nobody wants to drive like an hour and 10 minutes, but let's set up a couch on the side of a road in like, I don't know, Culver City, whatever.
Off the 405.
Yeah. And occasionally we'll meet there and Ben can toss them into the cushions or something, or maybe no cushions. We'll see what happens. I think that's a good idea.
I want to do it and I think we should videotape it.
Okay, good.
Because
I don't know what my son, Harrison's like, you know, again, this is like with the Jets fans. I want to manage expectations. He thinks he's like such a good baseball player and like a flag football player and wrestler. I'm like, dude, you're average at all this stuff and probably will be the rest of your life. Yeah. So
no, but
I don't know what to
tell
him. Yeah.
8 is a great age for this stuff because 8 is like, you start to feel like you could take an adult, right? Mm-hmm. I remember Ben like, but that was the first year Ben would be wrestling me and he would start getting mad and
right.
feel like he could do moves and they just keep coming. They're like Michael Myers. They never get tired of it. And you know, it's going to end up with one of you is getting hurt, probably the dad.
Right.
But I was jealous. I was reliving it just through Harrison. He tried to come
you
at
could
me
have
once.
Him. He did? Even you?
Yeah. I just started coughing. He ran away.
That's the new, that's how you do it. Well, I he's asking for Daniel Nunez's jersey. These guys I've never even heard of that they don't make. So he's going to learn the hard way that there's no Santa. Sorry. Hope no kids are listening.
I have one other quick parent corner. My dad turned 75 today.
Nice.
Talking to my wife about the biggest birthdays after 50. 50 is a big one. 60, 70, 75. When does it go to 5 years? Probably at 70? Because 65 is not a big birthday, right? 70, 75 is a big one. And then I feel like after 75, every year is a big one after 75,
sure.
right? How old's your dad now?
He is 82.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 75 is big, 80. And then, I don't want to get grim here, but yeah, you got to start thinking that they're more important.
So I flew him out last week. Mm-hmm. He'd had a cough for like 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, no, I'm at the tail end of it. He shows up. He's still coughing and sneezing. And my stepmom sounds like she's like created COVID in a lab. Like she's just like these deep, awful coughs. And she's like, no, I don't know what's going on. On the plane, I felt it coming. And they were sick for 4 straight days. And it was nice. Like having patient X and patient Y with us as we're driving around and doing all this stuff. My stepmother's wearing a mask so she could cough into the mask. And it was 4 days of it. And the whole time I'm like, you guys are going to make me sick. I've had 2 colds. And needless to say, they left. And 2 days later, I was sick. And I'm still sick. And you can hear it in my voice. And I'm probably going to die right after this podcast. Happy birthday, Dad. It was great to see you. Happy birthday. Thanks
Mission
for the Ebola virus.
He got you sick. Did you make him feel bad about it? He probably felt terrible.
No, on top I don't of think feeling he, terrible. I don't think they felt that bad. I think they were excited to see the grandkids. Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Anyway, that was Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. If you're looking for a ride that won't break your stride or your budget, CarMax can help you find that perfect car for you that raises the bar without raising your budget because all their cars are CarMax certified and priced just right. And with a nationwide inventory to choose from, you're sure to find a car that's right for you and right in your price range. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying, reimagined. Before we go, how have you been doing on the World Cup?
Yeah,
I know you're betting all these games.
I bet. I'm betting every game I'm awake for. I'm not at the point where I'm waking up for the 2 a.m. Kickoffs or whatever they call it. But my big bet, as I told you, over 4.5 nil-nil ties. And I got 5.
You nailed it.
U.S. England was number 5. So I'm happy with that. And then, I like betting it. Look, I got to tell you, can soccer purists just calm the fuck down with me? And like, if you're not, can you have an opinion on soccer if it's not your favorite sport? Like, I feel like I watch more soccer than people who claim soccer is their favorite sport. I'm betting every Saturday, I'm betting an EPL game at 7:30 in the morning, right? It doesn't make me an expert, but I should be able to observe that the penalty kicks are unfair when there's 1 or 2 goals a game. It's too easy to score on them for some just hand stuff in the box that could go either way. The running time is stupid and there's other stuff too. But, you know, my football has warts too. I still don't know what a catch is. The refereeing is suspect. Like you could take shots at my football. I'll take shots at your football. Why does everyone get so crazy?
I think that's very fair. I liked how they did the extra time in the World Cup, though. I thought
they're
like
adding extra
plus
time.
9. Yeah, it's like an actual.
Yeah, but then you don't even know if it's 9 or 9:12 or 9:14 or 8:50, right?
I watched the entire England game with my two kids, including my son, who I don't think has ever watched a full soccer game before, but really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a riveting sporting event. I loved it.
Really? Wow.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was for when you think like how it ended up, where it's wasn't like the 40-30 Packers-Eagles game we had, but I don't know. I felt like we controlled the game. I was just psyched that we played well, you know, and then the coach waited way too long to put the subs in. I don't know what the fuck he was doing, putting Shaq Warren over Yedlin. But for the most part, I really felt like we went toe-to-toe with them. We just don't have a striker, which is the same. It's the same story every 4 years with us. We've just never developed that one guy, probably because those guys are playing football and basketball and all these other sports. But we don't have that one. You could even feel like with Kane, who's a little older, but he's just, he's dangerous all the time. You're always thinking about where is he? And we've just never had that guy. Dempsey's probably the closest, but it's just crazy to me. We haven't come up with that guy.
I have a different view of it. Like, I mean, this, when was this announced? Like in March? Again, for 8 months, we were told this is going to be the game. Everyone's going to watch after Thanksgiving. You're going to be hungover on, you know, turkey sandwiches. And the punchline is like, it's probably going to be 0-0. And it ended up 0-0. Like, I don't know.
I know.
And neither team was upset, really. I mean, I guess England fans, they showed some of the fans that were upset. And it's like, well, yeah, it sucks, but U.S. still has to beat Iran. So,
Well, what screwed it up was Iran beating Wales made it so that America, all of a sudden, instead of like, we have to beat England, it turned into this, oh, well, actually, we just need to keep this close. And if we beat Iran, we're great.
Right.
But that's
right. I want to end on a positive. I'm going to give you a winner here because I've been winning. U.S. to score 2 or more goals plus 150. Go get it.
Mm.
Do it.
How about if you bet on Wales in that game and their goalkeeper comes out and just kicks the guy right in the head and gets a red card and gets kicked out? That would be a tough one. That would be the equivalent of betting on Tampa today.
That's
all right. So you think the U.S. gets two plus goals.
2 or more. Yep. Do it. And I'm sorry, soccer fans. You could hate football and go after Mike White or whoever you want. It's fine with me.
I wish they would play Pulisic as a pseudo striker, where it's like you basically play the wide prongs and he's in the middle, like kind of how Messi gets used sometimes, over like putting these strikers in there who aren't going to do anything. That would be my one nitpick. But again, we're just two guys talking about soccer who we don't have the chops.
That's all. It's fine.
But I want Pulisic in the middle of the field. Do you call him Pulisic or Pulisic?
Pulisic. I don't know what our guy Jason Garrett tried to call him the other day, but that was terrible. It was atrocious. Well,
what did he say?
I think he tried to make a joke with Pele and Pulisic and Pele, but he ended up like this. He added like 4 syllables or something. He can't really do anything right. It's not his fault.
The problem with Jason Garrett is he's never going to get hired again. So we're just stuck with him on TV. He's just going to torture you. You might have to have him on the podcast. You might have to actually try to get along with him. You need to flip the relationship.
I can't do it. I met him at Romo's house. I turned my back. I wouldn't even talk to him. I said, this guy shouldn't be retired. It's warm for you. I know. I'm a petulant little baby when it comes down to it.
All right. Cuz, congrats on the big win. I'm probably going to be dead in a couple of days, so House will take over against the Lions, but he'll inherit my 6 wins, and we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Hang in there, buddy.
Hang in there.
I'll try. I have 3 different colds in 5 weeks.
It's a great practical joke by your father. I got to give him a heads up.
It's pretty good. It was his birthday present to me. All right. Good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right. That's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing. Don't forget, new rewatchables coming on Monday night, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I also did The White Lotus, episode 5 on the Prestige TV podcast. That's up. And if you're into the World Cup, please check out our awesome soccer podcasts, which include Stadio, Righty's House, and Counterpress with Flo Lloyd Hughes and Friends, which we just launched. We'll see. Hopefully, Team USA will come through. By Tuesday's pod, we will know what happened in that game, and I'm sure I'll talk to somebody about it. But go USA. Happy birthday, Dad. I will see you on this feed on Tuesday.